We've met Elisha, the man of God. I wonder if you noticed, in every story, there's a bit of a disaster. A bit of a disaster, and every time Elisha, the man of God, makes things better. So we're going to meet some of the people in the stories. In the first story, we're introduced to a lady who's very sad. Why is she sad? Oh, there's another lady we were going to meet who hasn't got a son. This lady is really sad because her husband has just died. That's really sad, isn't it? That is really sad. She's got two sons. They look too happy. I'm sorry. Okay? It's really sad. We meet a lady who's just lost her husband. She's lost her husband, she's grieving, and she's got no money. She's in debt. And the debtor, the person she owes money to, is coming to collect the money. But she can't pay. And so the debtor is going to take away her two boys. She's going to have lost her husband and her two sons. How's she feeling? Really sad, worried, fearful. In your head, think about this. What should she do? Have a look at what she does do if you've got a Bible open. Next to the big number 4, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets, that's this lady, she's very sad. She cried out to Elisha. She cried out to Elisha. She's in an awful situation. She's fearful, she's sad. What does she do? She cries out to the man of God. And Elisha, he's willing to help. He's keen to help. And he says, "What have you got?" I don't know if you can remember what she says she's got. Nothing at all except a tiny little bottle of olive oil. Think about your house. Maybe you can think about your house at home. Think about all the cupboards in your kitchen. Think about the fridge when you open it. Think about all the things that are in there. In this lady's cupboard is only this. Nothing else. It's not much, is it? Nothing else. Do you think she can pay her big debt with this? What do you think? I don't think she can. She's in trouble. But she cries out to Elisha for help, and he gets her to do something. He tells her to get her sons to collect all the jars they can find from all the neighbors that they have. Now, some of you might have noticed that we've got some jars to find. Now, I'm going to need a little bit of help. We're going to gather all the jars we can find on that table, okay? So if you've got a jar near you, if you can see one under a chair in front of you, could you pop it up in the air? And Josh and Elsie and Liliana, is that right?
Yeah.
Good. Emmanuel, can you go and collect all the jars for me? Others can help if they want to, but just walk around, collect all the jars, and we're going to pop them on this table here. Can you pop the jars on there? Pop the jars on there, that's it. There's lots of jars to collect. Yep, there's one at the back. Dammy's got one. Asher, thank you. Joe's got two. I feel like an auctioneer. Emmanuel, bring the jars. Emmanuel, bring the jars. Quick, bring the jars. Thank you, yes. Over there, good. Bring the jars. Come on, bring the jars, Emmanuel. Well done. Anybody see any more jars anywhere? Anybody, any more jars? Anybody see any more jars? Oh, there's a jar. A jar, a jar. We've collected all our jars from all our neighbors. Well done. I've got one more. Here we go. They collect all the jars from all the neighbors and they go into their house. And Elisha says, go into the house and take your little jar of olive oil and pour it into all the jars. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, you're going to get a tiny bit. I'm not going to do it because they're really dirty. And this wasn't that expensive. This wasn't that cheap. It's just not going to do anything, is it? Come on. And yet, she starts pouring. This is just water, not a lot. I've got no magic trick. But she starts pouring. She starts pouring and she says to the sons, bring me another jar, bring me another jar, bring me another jar, bring me another jar. And she keeps pouring and she keeps pouring and they get to full and she moves on to the next jar and the next jar and the next jar. And I mean, if you're watching this play out in the moment, if you were a fly on the wall, the fly is like, how is this happening? But Elisha, the man of God, has made this happen. She pours and she pours until all the jars are full. And she says to the boys, bring me more jars. And they're like, no, Mum, there's no more jars. We can't go and ask the neighbours because they'll get cross. They've given us all their jars. Think about her kitchen. Cupboards, completely bare. Just that one little jar. Now she can barely move in her house. There's olive oil everywhere. Imagine if she kicked one over by accident. What a mess. But the picture is this. Barrenness, complete emptiness. She's got nothing. And Elisha, the man of God, makes her life overflow with goodness. Do you think you can take a house load of olive oil, sell it, and pay her debts? Yeah. Yeah, she can. Have a look. If you've got it open, at chapter 4, verse 7. The little number 7. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. But not just pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. It is an amazing kindness from God through the man of God, Elisha. And now they're safe. How do you think she feels now? What do you think? Yeah, I think so. I think she might be a little bit sad sometimes because she's still grieving her husband. But she's happy. She's safe. She doesn't have to fear or worry anymore. That's that lady. We're going to meet another lady. We'll leave her up here to remind us. But we'll take... is that a bit sad now she's lost her sons? We'll leave the sons up there. We'll leave the sons up there. We're going to meet another lady. We met another lady. Who did we meet, Liz? We met a lady who had a husband but didn't have a son. It was sad. See, Elisha, he used to travel past her house, and she was very kind to him. She gave him a bed and food, and her and her husband, they looked after him when he passed by. They were good friends, and he wanted to do something kind for her. And so he found out what he could do for her. He found out that she just hadn't been able to have children for whatever reason. And the problem in this time of... in this age, was that if she didn't have a husband providing for her, she wasn't very safe. And so if her husband dies, she'll be all alone with nobody to look after her. And it's into this sad situation Elisha comes again. And this time he says to her, in a year, you're going to hold a baby in your arms. And it happens. Again, out of barrenness, out of emptiness, Elisha, he brings life and goodness. But there's another sad bit in this story. I don't know if you noticed it. Because the son, he grows up, he's very happy. He's a very happy boy. The son, he grows up, but one day he dies. And the woman, understandably, is distraught. She's absolutely gutted. But notice what she does. I wonder if you can find the little number 25. Her son has just died. And so she set out and came to the man of God. The first thing she does is put her son on Elisha's bed, and then she rushes to go to Elisha. And look what she does when she gets to Elisha. Have a look at the little number 27. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. That's a funny thing to do, isn't it? What do you think? How does that feel?
Weird.
A bit weird? She took hold of his feet. If she takes hold of his feet, he can't go anywhere until she listens to him. She's desperate to talk to him and get his help. So she holds his feet. Elisha, you can't go anywhere while I'm here. He can't run away. She clings to, she throws herself at the man of God's feet for his help. I was thinking of my nephew, he's 3. Josh, do you like dogs? Okay, so my nephew's 3. How old are you, Josh? 2, 3. My nephew's 3, Josh, and he really doesn't like dogs, okay? And when he sees a dog, if you're with him, I was going to get Limit Lizzie to demonstrate, but I don't think we will. If you're with my nephew Jack and he sees a dog, he clings to you. Now, I don't just mean he holds your hand tight. I don't really know how he does it, but he suddenly ends up here, like wrapped around here, and he just climbs up. You don't even have to hold on. He just clings on. And that's a bit what this woman does with Elisha. She just clings to him. And she shares her sadness with him. She doesn't pretend everything's okay. And she asks, why has this happened? Why did you give me this son in the first place? But surprise, surprise, Elisha has a solution. He goes to the dead boy, and it might have seemed a bit weird when we read it, but he lies on the boy, and Elisha passes life from himself to the dead boy. How many times did the dead boy sneeze? 7 times. Right. It's a lot of sneezes, isn't it? That's really alive. You don't get much more alive than sneezing 7 times. Life passes from Elisha to the corpse. And he sneezes 7 times. And the woman, as she hugs her son who is alive again, how do you think she feels? Happy, relieved, joyful. Life has passed from Elisha, the man of God. And you see, what she did was she clung to Elisha. When she was fearful, when she was scared, she clung to Elisha, the man of God. She threw herself at his feet so he couldn't go anywhere without listening. And again, she delivers. He delivers. There's lots of things that are amazing about these 2 stories. And we've still got 2 stories to go. But what I find amazing about these 2 stories is the courage. There's lots of things that are amazing, but particularly I find the courage of the women amazing. They don't run away from hard things. They don't hide. They don't blame God. They don't pretend everything is okay. They don't have a kind of stiff upper lip. They're sad and they're desperate. And in their fear and in their sadness, they run to Elisha and cling to him. And I think that takes courage. It takes courage to admit that you're finding life hard. It takes courage to admit that you're scared. I think the other thing that I find wonderful about these 2 stories is we don't necessarily know the names of these women, but God thinks they're so important that he included them in his book. Lots of other religions, and sometimes in the past and today, Christians and people who don't know the Lord at all treat women badly. God never does. And we see that really clearly in the Lord Jesus. I find that wonderful. We're going to sing together a song that I think these 2 women could sing. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord holds all his little ones safe. Let's stand together. when the music starts.
Don't forget there's an echo in this song.
So we've met Elisha, we've seen him bring goodness to two women out of two sad situations, but there's two more stories. Both include food, which is exciting if you're hungry, but don't get excited. Because have a look at verse 38, the little number 38. Maybe you could just have a look at it with the person next to you. What's the problem in verse 38? Any thoughts? Famine. What do you think famine means? Any ideas? Not quite. Why are you hungry, Emmanuel? Right, the famine means there's no food. So you're hungry. The famine means there's no food, so you're hungry. Empty supermarkets, nothing to eat anywhere. And the truth is, in this case, famine is actually part of God's punishment. He said that if they ignored him, then the rain wouldn't come. And they ignored him, and the rain hasn't come. And so there's famine. But they're starving, and there's a crowd of them. They need feeding, so the cook, he goes to the gardens and he finds whatever he can, and I don't recommend that. If you see things that look like fruits in the tree, don't necessarily eat them. But they do. They find these gourds, these kind of little fruits, and they chop them up and they put them in the pot. We'll pop this here so that we remember the third story. They put them in the pot. And they cook them up. And what happens when they serve the stew? Have a look at verse 40. the stew was poured out for the men, but they began to eat it. But as they began to eat it, they cried out, "Man of God, there's death in the pot!" And they could not eat it. What do you think? Is it yum or yucky? Really yucky. Awful. This bad. Caution. Do not eat. Now imagine in a famine, you've got no food, you haven't had breakfast or dinner last night. You see the pot of stew. How exciting. And then you see the sign. Sad. Hungry. Lots of them. What do they do? Did you notice what they did? What did they do? They couldn't eat it. And the middle of verse 40, they cried out. Who to? Elisha, the man of God. Help, they say. And I don't know how this works. Don't try this at home. But he gets flour and he puts it in the pot and it's fine. And they can eat. They serve it to the people and there was nothing harmful in the pot. The stew, it goes from deadly to delicious, and the people, they go from starving to satisfied. Why? Elisha, the man of God. Again. Last story. Still famine. Emmanuel, what does famine mean?
Very, 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 very,
very, very, very hungry. No food. Starving. Well, exciting. Good news. Have a look at verse 42, because what happens? A man came from a place that's very hard to say, bringing the man of God. He brought Elisha 20 loaves of barley bread. 20 loaves, 100 people. What do you think? Now, they might be massive loaves, but given that a man is carrying them, I think they're probably quite small loaves. So let's go with rolls, okay? 20 rolls, 100 people. What do you think, Kelsey? Really small, a tiny bit. We were in the supermarket yesterday, I was going to buy 20 rolls, thought better of it, and bought ice buns. Now, lots of us are away because it's half term, but even still, I don't think we're going to get much each, are we? Now, some people might not want some because you've had a big breakfast, but imagine if you hadn't had breakfast and you hadn't had dinner last night. You would be all, I mean, they might have gone already. But they wouldn't go very far. But if Elisha's on the hand, it's not a problem. Have a look at verse 43. The man says, "How can I set this before 100 men?" And he's got a point. But Elisha, he says, "Give it to the people to eat. For this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over." So they set it before them and they ate and they had some left. If we eat the ice buns, are we going to have any left? No, right. Elsie's going to be eating them all. We're not going to have any left. They ate the rolls, the bread, the loaves, and had some left. Because of Elisha and the word of the Lord. Let's pop this up here. 100 people fed with some loaves, all because of Elisha. Every single situation has something bad or sad or dangerous or fearful or hungry. And every situation, Elisha, the man of God, comes to the rescue. God gave Elisha a message. Do you remember what it was? Warn people about punishment to come because of their sin. But before punishment comes, there's a way to be safe. If you cling to Elisha, the man of God, and these people, they experienced it, they knew it. They're safe. Because they're with him. Now, When we read stories like this in the Old Testament, it can feel a bit far away in history, in time, and we think, well, what do we do with that? Because if Jake gives us the rolls, they're probably not going to feed us all and have some left. So what's going on? Well, I think Old Testament stories like these ones do two things. Firstly, they teach us things about God and his character. And secondly, they point us to Jesus. Here are three things we learn about God from chapter 4 of 2 Kings. First one, he's so often so generous. The woman, the first woman, she just needed her debt paying so the boys could stay. And he poured out abundant oil so that she didn't have to worry about her bank balance ever again. He's so often so generous. We can depend on him for our daily bread. Secondly, we learn that God, he cares about women in distress and poverty. That is so precious and so good. And thirdly, we learn that even when punishment is deserved, there's time, there's an offer of safety. That's good too. So next time you're reading an Old Testament story, you can think, what does this teach me about God? Simple question. If you're not sure what the answer will be when you're reading or after you've read, chat to somebody, ask them, what do they think? Ask somebody at church, see what they think. But these stories, they also point us to Jesus. Because Elisha is like a kind of mini version of Jesus. Like a kind of Lego model of the real thing. The amazing miracles that Elisha does show us that he's the man of God. But when Jesus comes, his miracles are even better. If you wanted to later, you could go and read Luke chapter 4 to 9. And it's like 2 Kings chapter 4 on steroids. The miracles, they explode. He casts out evil spirits, he heals many, he cleanses lepers, he heals the paralyzed man, he restores a man's withered hand. And then just like Elisha, he raises a widow's son. But where Elisha did the strange bodily contact thing, Jesus just says a word and the boy comes back to life. And then I'm sure you remember, Jesus doesn't just feed 100 people. 4,000, 5,000. And not with 20 loaves, but with less. How many? 5 loaves. Amazing. The miracles explode. See, God, he sent Elisha to warn people about the punishment that was coming. And anyone, like these people who cried out to Elisha and clung to him, they would be safe. But that was on a local level in Israel. Jesus comes on a global scale and tells everyone, anywhere, whatever they've done, punishment is coming. But there's time to be safe. And as Jesus dies on the cross, he takes the punishment that is deserved so that people who cling to him can go free and be safe. And so 2 Kings 4, when we think about Jesus, encourages us not to just cling to Elisha, but to cling to Jesus and nothing else and no one else. Some people think that if there is a God and if there is a judgment to come, they'll be okay because they haven't done anything that bad. Or they think that their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds. Or they'll be okay because they've tried hard. Or they've got Christian parents. But the truth is, God has said he will judge us based on what we do with his man, Jesus. Like the people were safe because of Elisha, we can only be safe as we cling to Jesus. So if you've never put your trust in Jesus, please do. Eternal safety is on offer. And Jesus comes in kindness to offer us life. And if you are trusting Jesus, whatever comes your way, literally whatever comes your way, you'll be safe with him. He will hold you fast. He won't let your soul be lost. And God has promised that he'll sustain you each day until he calls you home. And some of those days might be exceedingly hard, but he'll give you grace to sustain you and keep you going until you die or Jesus returns. And then you can rest in his care forever. We're going to sing in a few moments these words. On that day, we will rise to meet the Lord. Sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy, and Christ will be ours forevermore. And if you're clinging to Jesus, if you're trusting Jesus, however old we are, whatever we've done, we're safe. Nothing can separate us from the love of God.